Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Daniel Shaw's Traumatic Narcissism and Recovery. Leaving the Prison of Shame and Fear is a clinical and theoretical work in psychoanalysis, trauma studies, and cult recovery, published in the Relational Perspectives book series. It develops Shaw's earlier account of traumatic narcissism as a relational system in which a controlling narcissistic figure subjugates others through shame, fear, dependency, and coercive influence, rather than treating narcissism mainly as an individual diagnostic category. Shaw focuses on the injured person who has lived under narcissistic domination and has internalized the abuser's degrading view of reality. The book is written primarily for psychotherapists, psychoanalysts, counselors, and informed survivors, using clinical reflection and relational psychoanalytic concepts to clarify how recovery becomes possible. Its central purpose is to help readers recognize the mechanisms of narcissistic subjugation and understand the therapeutic work required to restore self-trust, autonomy, and dignity. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, traumatic narcissism as a relational system of domination. Shaw's central contribution is to frame traumatic narcissism not simply as a personality problem located inside one individual, but as a relational structure that organizes power between a dominating person and a subordinated other. The traumatizing narcissist is presented as someone who depends on control, admiration, and submission to maintain a sense of superiority and psychological safety. This shifts attention away from diagnosing the abuser in isolation and toward understanding how the victim becomes trapped in a relationship that reshapes perception, emotion, and self-evaluation. The importance of this framework is clinical as well as conceptual. Survivors often blame themselves for remaining attached to harmful people or groups. But Shaw's model explains attachment as an outcome of coercive relational pressure rather than personal weakness. The victim's fear, compliance, and confusion are treated as understandable adaptations to domination by emphasizing the system. The book gives therapists a way to identify repeated patterns of subjugation across families, intimate relationships, therapeutic misuse, and cultic environments without reducing every case to the same formula. Secondly, shame and fear as the internal prison of the survivor. The subtitle's image of a prison points to one of the book's most important themes: narcissistic abuse continues after external control weakens because shame and fear become internalized. Shaw emphasizes that the victim may come to experience the abuser's judgments as inner truth. This means recovery is not only a matter of leaving a relationship, group, or authority figure. It also involves confronting the self-condemning emotional structure that the abusive relationship helped create. Shame functions by convincing the survivor that humiliation is deserved, while fear keeps the survivor anticipating punishment, abandonment, ridicule, or collapse if autonomy is asserted. The result is a restricted sense of possibility. Shaw's approach is significant because it treats these emotions as relationally produced rather than as isolated symptoms to be managed. In therapy, this requires careful attention to how survivors speak about themselves, how they anticipate judgment from others, and how they may unconsciously remain loyal to the abuser's worldview. The book therefore links emotional recovery to the rebuilding of self-recognition and moral agency. Thirdly, coercive persuasion and cultic dynamics beyond formal cults. Shaw's long-standing work with former members of cultic groups shapes the book's analysis of traumatic narcissism. But the framework is not limited to formal cults. The book connects cultic control with broader patterns of coercive persuasion, in which a powerful figure gradually narrows the victim's access to independent judgment. This includes idealization of the leader or abuser, denigration of outside perspectives, induced dependency, and the use of shame to suppress doubt. The value of this comparison is that it helps readers see narcissistic abuse as a process rather than a single event or a merely difficult personality style. Coercive influence often works through alternating approval and degradation, making the victim seek relief from the same person who is causing the distress. Shaw's perspective is especially useful for clinicians because survivors may not initially describe their experience as abuse. They may describe loyalty, confusion, spiritual obligation, professional dependence, or love. By linking narcissistic domination with cultic mechanisms, the book clarifies why intelligent and capable people can become deeply entrapped and why leaving can produce grief, terror, guilt, and disorientation. Fourthly, relational psychoanalysis as a method for restoring self-trust. The book is grounded in relational psychoanalysis, meaning it treats psychological suffering as deeply shaped by relationships and by the meanings created within them. Shaw's therapeutic emphasis is not on giving survivors simple labels for abusers, although recognition can be important. Instead, recovery depends on a sustained process in which the survivor can examine how domination altered their sense of self, reality, and emotional entitlement. The therapeutic relationship matters because survivors of traumatic narcissism often expect authority to become humiliating, controlling, or morally superior. A clinician must therefore avoid recreating the same hierarchy of certainty that characterized the abusive relationship. Shaw's approach implies that interpretation alone is insufficient if it leaves the patient feeling exposed or judged. The therapist's task includes helping the survivor test perceptions, tolerate anger, mourn losses, and distinguish guilt imposed by the abuser from genuine responsibility. This makes the book useful for clinicians who need more than a checklist of narcissistic traits. It offers a model of treatment in which autonomy is rebuilt through trustworthy relational experience. Lastly, the clinical value and limits of naming narcissistic control. A practical strength of Shaw's work is its insistence that survivors and therapists need language for specific controlling behaviors. Naming the dynamics of traumatic narcissism can reduce confusion because it allows the survivor to see manipulation as patterned and purposeful rather than as a series of personal failures. Recognition can interrupt the survivor's tendency to keep explaining, appeasing, or proving worth to the abuser. At the same time, the book's seriousness comes from not treating naming as a complete cure. Identifying narcissistic domination may bring relief, but it can also provoke grief, fear, disbelief, and anger as the survivor reassesses years of experience. The clinical implication is that education must be joined to emotional processing and relational repair. Shaw's framework is also more complex than popular discussions of narcissistic abuse, which sometimes turn the term narcissist into a broad insult. His account asks readers to examine domination, dependency, shame, and coercion with precision. This makes the book more demanding, but also more useful for professionals and survivors seeking careful understanding rather than simplified blame. In conclusion, Traumatic Narcissism and Recovery is best suited for clinicians working with survivors of narcissistic abuse, coercive control, cultic involvement, family domination, or spiritually and professionally exploitative relationships. It will also benefit survivors who want a serious conceptual framework, though readers without background in psychotherapy may find some psychoanalytic language demanding. Its practical benefit lies in helping readers recognize how domination becomes internalized as shame, fear, and distrust of one's own perceptions. Its intellectual benefit is its shift from viewing narcissism mainly as a disorder of the narcissistic person to examining the relational system that injures and subjugates others. Compared with many books on narcissistic abuse, Shaw's work stands out for its clinical depth, its connection to cult recovery and coercive persuasion, and its focus on the survivor's recovery of autonomy rather than on sensational descriptions of the abuser. It is not a quick self-help manual or a simplified guide to identifying toxic people. Its value is in explaining why victims can remain psychologically captive, why leaving is only one part of recovery, and how therapy can help restore dignity and self-trust after relational subjugation. If you would like to support Daniel Shaw, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.